called Chanukah Kipshutoy. Yesterday we spent some time in the history of Chanukah. There are three parts to Chanukah. We'll come back to some of that soon. Okay, the three different wars. Chanukah really was made up, was the culmination of three wars. Who are our enemies in Chanukah? Enemies was first Nicanor, then the second one was, I forgot his name already. Not Bilgus, what was his name?
Biden.
What? Biden? What did you say, Biden?
Yeah.
Okay, the second... Oh, here it is, okay. Okay, everybody, say this. So review, yes, now let's talk about this. I want to review this one point, this interesting point, and then we'll go to some of the Minhagim, some very nice things about the Minhagim. But right now, I want to review and add to one thing that we said yesterday. Yesterday we discussed that Chanukah was under the one enemy that spanned the entire era of the Chanukah miracle, which, according to the, which Antiochus was the king of Persia from beginning to end, from the year 3598 through the year, I think, 3622.
Right, that was the 3621 and 22 were the main wars.
That was the third set of wars.
Right.
Okay, but the basic story, as we learned yesterday, is that Antiochus rose to power. He was the king of Yavon.
So how many years was he king?
I don't know. He was king from at least. He was probably more. At least he was king for. Okay, I'm not sure. For a long time, Antiochus, when he rose to power, he was the king of Persia. He was the king for 23 years, with no trouble whatsoever. He was on very good terms with the Jews. Everything was fine and good. And they got along very well. There were no issues for 23 years. This was during the time, of course, of the Bayis Sheni. There were no issues whatsoever for 23 years. Things turned sour. Now, during these 23 years, even though the Klal Yisrael was on good terms with Antiochus, there were many Jews that began to become enamored with Hellenism and began to become what were called Misyavnim. They began to embrace the ideology of the Persians, Hellenism, and they became, they went off the derech.
Was it Greece or was it Persia?
I thought it was Greece.
It was the Seleucid.
The Seleucid. It's a little bit confusing. Okay, I don't know. It's a little bit the Syrian Greeks. Okay, we'll call them the Syrian Greeks. Okay, we'll call them the Syrian Greeks. Yavon. The Syrian Greeks. He was the king. He was the ruler of Antiochus was the major world power of the day. I don't know the details, but he was the major world power of the day, and he represented Hellenism. That's what it seems. And during this 23 period of time, even though there was no threat to Klal Yisrael within the Beis Hamikdash, many Jews already began to shed their Yadus and embrace Hellenism and started to look to make trouble for the religious Jews. After 23 years, we mentioned yesterday, very quick to review yesterday, is that Yavon went to war with Egypt. Rumors began to circulate that Antiochus was killed in battle. The Misyavnim, who embraced Hellenism and hated their brothers, who were the religious element of the Jewish people, used this as an opportunity to make trouble for Klal Yisrael by sending a report, a false report, to Antiochus that the religious Jews rejoiced, celebrated when they found out, when they heard that you died. It was fake, he didn't die. But rumors were spreading that he was killed in battle. It turned out that he was not killed in battle, he was fine. But the Misyavnim slandered falsely that to Antiochus that the religious Jews of Klal Yisrael and Yerushalayim were celebrating when they heard that he died. So Antiochus fell for this garbage and he sent Nicanor, okay, his general, one of his big generals, Nicanor, with 40,000 soldiers to Yerushalayim to attack. And he caused a lot of tsaros. There were a lot of there were wars, and Nicanor took control of the Beis HaMikdash, and things came to a climax when Nicanor offered on the Mizbeach a chazir. Yochanan Kohen Gadol could not tolerate this. He himself got up and murdered Nicanor. And that brought about a whole battle where Klal Yisrael miraculously survived. That alone was a miracle in and of itself. No. Completely different Nicanor. This alone was worthy of a miracle. This is the first battle of Hanukkah, the battle of Nicanor. 40,000 people came, they took control of the Beis HaMikdash, b'chulu b'chulu, Yochanan Kohen Gadol assassinated him, and there was a major battle, it was a major miracle. What was the response? Shtar k'tayra. He sent. What did he do? He sent another general. A new tkufa arrived, and he sent. What was his name?
Bagrus.
Right, Bagrus. Bagri sent Bagrus, a second general, to make tsaros. This was a very difficult tekufa, a year of shmad, which resulted in a second milchama. Through here's you have the five sons of Matisyahu were involved in that. We always talk about the five sons of Matisyahu. It was against Bagrus. This was a second general that was dispatched by Antiochus to squash the Jewish people, also to take revenge for what they did to Nicanor. And after 1 year, there was another major, major battle. And again, a very great miracle occurred, and we prevailed. However, Antiochus was not to be defeated. He then sent Elipondri. Is that how you pronounce his name? Elipondri. Okay, I don't know how to pronounce it, but in Hebrew they write over here Elipurni, with 10,800,000 soldiers. And this was a major, major battle, and it reached its climax with the story of Yehudis, where Yehudis invited him into her tent, v'chulu v'chulu. She gave him cheese, she gave him milk, he fell asleep. She chopped off his head, hung up his head outside. There was a very great panic that resulted because of this. And the Jewish people went to war. And because of the panic, they were able to overcome 10 million soldiers of Elipunri. And Antiochus was defeated once and for all. That was the end of the third battle. Now, that's not the total end. There were more battles that went on later on. But it was the third major part of the Hanukkah miracle, and each one of these miracles in and of itself was worthy of a holiday. And at the end of the third miracle, they took back the Beis HaMikdash and they lit the candles. Yesterday we said, according to many of you, brings all the Rishonim here, I can't tell you all the names of Rishonim, the Nemukah Yosef, and they explain very clearly that when we light the Hanukkah candles, we are lighting the Hanukkah candles as a commemoration of the Nitzachon of war. If there was no war and there was just a Hanukkah miracle that the Pach Shemen lasted for 8 days, there would be no Hanukkah. Throughout history, there always have been miracles. Some people will tell you they have this miracle every Friday night. They put their candle in the leichter, and they come back the next day, the candle is still lit. People tell you about miracles all the time. The miracle of Hanukkah, according to many Rishonim, is not as almost nothing to do with the miracle of the Pach Shemen lasting for 8 days. It was a miracle. But that was not a miracle that is worthy that we should have a holiday. We took that miracle and just used it as a way to do an act, a Maisa Mitzvah, to commemorate the Nitzachon of the battle. The miraculous three battles that occurred during this era. There were three battles. They were all Giboirim b'yad Chaloshim, v'rabim b'yad Ma'atim, b'tzvim b'yad Tohirim, and we commemorate the miraculous nature of these battles. What do we do to make sure that we don't forget about it? We do a Maisa. What is the Maisa? We light a Ner. And we light a Ner for 8 days. It happens to me that since the culmination of the Nitzachon resulted in Klal Yisrael coming back to the Beis HaMikdash and retaking the Beis HaMikdash and cleaning out all the Avodah Zarah and being Mitar, and there was a miracle that the Neros lasted for 8 days, oh, excellent! Let's build upon that and use that miracle that happened at the end of the battle as a way for us to remember the Nitzachon of the Milchama in during this era. And that is why we say Haneros Halalu. When you light the Neros, you immediately have an obligation. We immediately make it clear. Why are we lighting the Neros? You light, obviously, lighting the Neros because of the miracle. No! You light the Ner, and right away you say, you know why we're lighting the Neros? Haneros Halalu She'onu Manlikim, that we light. Why are we lighting it? We're lighting it al hanisim, according to what he explains over here. Al hanisim is battle number one. Battle number one of Nicanor. V'al hanifloois is Bagris. V'al hatishuois is the third battle of Eliponri. That's why we're lighting. We're lighting, we are explaining the reason why we're lighting the Neros is a zecher to reflect that the war that Hashem that we fought was a miraculous war. Now, according to this whole mahalach, here's that. That was a review from yesterday. It opens up a whole new question. What exactly is the difference between Chanukah and Purim? They're both wrapped up in the same al hanisim, al neflos, al adshuos, al milchamos. That's also the same thing. What's the difference in Chanukah and Purim? We all know that Purim is a miracle that happened al derech hateva, within the framework of nature. That there was no open miracle, nothing, there wasn't a Kriyas Yamsuf, there weren't 10 Makos, it was a collection of events that each one by itself is just a natural event, but the coordination, the choreography of how every one of these miracles, these events came together to produce a salvation, the Klal Yisrael, is super blatant, a nace for Klal Yisrael. Now the miracle of Purim happened long before the miracle of Chanukah. Right. The miracle of Purim happened about 250 years before the miracle of Chanukah. It was a moment of revelation that within the Olam HaTeva of nature is the Yad Hashem. Hashem is calling the shots. Hashem is directing everything. That's what it was. There was a battle also, by the way. There was a battle after, when it was originally planned for the Goyim to destroy, we went to battle. We fought the battle, and we won. Many were killed from our enemies. But the miracle of Purim is a revelation that we can see in the Ne'in Teva, we can see the Yad Hashem. Now here's the Chiddush. 250 years passed. People began to forget. There's a weakness, because Teva is Teva. Coincidence is coincidence. And Purim, you know, when you learn about Purim, everyone always, the message is always the same. Just like at the time of Purim, it was so obvious, the chances of A, B, C, D, E, F, G happening in coordination are literally zero, even though every single one of these events is a natural occurrence, is Teva. But the chances that every single one of these events, these moments happened, they were coordinated, wow, this is Mamish the Yad Hashem. So there's a Musa Haskel, that everything that we do in life, when you go to work, you miss the train, miss the bus, this happens, that happens. Every single thing that happens in this world, which is operating according to the laws of nature, is not a coincidence. Every event that happens is a coordination, it is the Yad Hashem. That's the message to take out of Purim. But you know, it gets hard. Sometimes it's dark outside, and there's Hester Panim, and events happen, And it's very, very hard to see the Yad Hashem in the everyday events, current events, and all the things that happen in this world. It's hard to see. There's a weakness. Now here's the Chiddush. Chanukah is a chizuk for Purim. It's not the pshat, oh, there's a Chanukah miracle, and there's a Purim miracle. Ha'iluchud v'ha'iluchud. Two passing ships in the evening. Nothing to... Chanukah is like another Pesach. L'malo, this is what I tell you in kindergarten. Chanukah is l'malo v'derech ha'teva. It's like Pesach. Nisim, the oil lasted for 8 days. Wow, miracle. Purim, it's a miracle of nature. No. Hey, that's one mahalich. That's perfectly fine. But it's much deeper than that. We mentioned this yesterday. In the battle of Chanukah, the three wars, was it a miracle or not? So if you were fighting in the battle, you know, you listen today to the soldiers, the Chayolim in Eretz Yisrael, fighting, giving up their lives on the front lines, and they come back and they tell you it's mamash the Yad Hashem. They come back like in a daze. Listen to some of them. It's the Yad Hashem. It was the Yad Hashem. It was how could it be that such a small number of Klal Yisrael was able to overcome 10 million enemies? Even 40,000 soldiers, trained soldiers from Nicanor and from the other general, how is it possible? So those that are on the battlefield will tell you it was a miracle, and maybe at the time, but after time passes, it wears off the effect, and you begin to think, you know, it's strategy. If you have a good strategy, and you're determined, and you have the right weapons, and you have inside information, it's possible for an army of a few to overcome an army of many. It's possible, guerrilla warfare, if you're trained in guerrilla warfare, you can knock out a massive army that doesn't know the first thing. They come in these fancy uniforms, costumes. It's possible. As time passes, it gets easy to forget and to see the Yad Hashem in the world of Teva. The purpose of Chanukah, of 8 days, and lighting the Neros and saying Hallel, is the goal is, don't forget that what happens in the world of nature is a miracle. Dwell upon the Melchomos, the three battles of the Chashmonoim against the Yevonim, and don't forget that the battles were Lemala Miderech HaTeva. It wasn't just good strategy that a few soldiers can overcome many. This was an unusual Hashkocha Pratis that was like Purim. It was Lamala Miderech HaTeva within Teva. And therefore the miracle was commemorated by lighting candles. When you light a candle, you are bringing illumination. Don't live in the dark. Don't live anoichi haster aster panai. Illuminate the situation, the story. Open it up wide. There was a battle. Let's talk about the battle. Let's discuss every single part of the battle, and let's analyze what are the chances of your survival going up against this army, this event, that event, what happened here, what happened there. Illuminate the story. Discuss the story. Sing, give Hashem Shevach Vaidah. Sing Hallel for 8 days. Build up the story. Moisif Vaholech. The elements of lighting the Chanukah candles is a reminder. Don't make a mistake and be fooled and rewrite history that the battles of the Chashmonoim against the Yevonim were just good strategy. It was Teva. If you have a good general and some good weapons and some determination and know-how how to fight the battle, you could win al derech ha-Teva. That's the danger. You're backsliding. You're going back even before the time of Purim. When we had a Purim miracle, it was a great revelation that there is an incredible Hashkocha Pratis in this world. Everything that happens in this world is the Yad Hashem. It was blatant. But 250 years later, people began to forget that. Now you have another opportunity. There's a battle. Don't let this pass by. You have to commemorate this forever and illuminate the story.
When did they start commemorating?
So it's a very good question. It appears that most of the Rambam leads the way. They began to commemorate the Molchama immediately, but the lighting of the Neris of the Menorah, the Mitzvah Hadlokas and Ner, first began, according to the Rambam, after the Churban Bayis Sheni. Because the Menorah, the lighting of the Menorah itself in the Beis HaMikdash was the ultimate commemoration of the Neris of Chanukah.
How many?
200 years. 200 for 200 years, every year on Chanukah, they did not light the menorah. They did not light the menorah, and if they did light, and those that disagree with the Rambam, who hold they did light the menorah, they only lit the menorah in the chotzer of the Beis HaMikdash. Nah, there was no din of ner ishu beisai.
Who gave this thing to start lighting a menorah?
The Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, when they saw that the miracle of Chanukah was being forgotten.
And then they instituted
the same. Neros. No, that's a whole question of the Nusach HaTfilah, because Nusach HaTfilah is not really formulated until later on. But Hallel. Whoever was the body of rabbis, whoever was the body of rabbis, for the first 200 years, it was a holiday.
That's about 1,000 years before. Or maybe whatever before Talmud Bavli was
correct. Not 1,000 years. Like 500 years, 700 years, 500, 600, 700 years. For the moment the miracle happened.
250 years from Purim to Chanukah, we have another 200 some odd years until we started lighting the menorah.
Correct. And then another
600, 800, whatever.
No, 500 years the most until the Bavli. The Bavli was 500 years after the Churban. 500 years, even less. Even less than 500 years, you already had the Talmud Bavli.
It's very easy why there's no Chanukah in the Bavli, because it's a relatively new thing.
Okay, you say something interesting. It was relatively new. Mm-hmm. There was no question that they celebrated Chanukah with Isser of Tainis. You're not allowed to have a fast day. There's no Hespedim. And they said Hallel. That's what it appears. They said Hallel for 8 days, from Chof, Hey, Kislev, for 8 days they said Hallel immediately. Lighting of the menorah?
There's a Mishnah about the Ner Chanukah.
That's the Mishnah was formulated, the lighting Ner Chanukah.
Sure.
Oh, sure.
In
Ner Chanukah, you Bereshus, Rots Bereshus. So that had to become out later on. That had, the Mishnais were formulated.
Well, Rabbi
Yehuda
died, I think, 216.
Okay, but the Rambam, it's pretty clear, is that the moment the miracle happened, for the next many, many, many years, 100, 200 years, the celebration was primarily through reciting Hallel for 8 days and a prohibition of Hesped and Tainis. Did they light a Chanukah menorah? The Chiluki Deya, some say, if they did light, they only lit in the Beis HaMikdash. A special lighting outside, you can't light inside, there's the menorah. They lit in the vicinity of the Mishnah. It was a public lighting to commemorate the miracle. After the Churban, Chazal saw that it's going to be being forgotten, so they instituted that everyone should light a Ner. Ner Ishu, Beisai V'chul, Mahadrin V'chul, V'chulu, to commemorate what happened. It developed over a period of time. But we're trying to explain what is the purpose, the lighting, according to the presentation of this Sefer, is the lighting of the menorah was nothing more than to commemorate an awareness that the Milchama was a miraculous Milchama. People began to forget that the Milchama was a miraculous Milchama. They began to say, good strategy. We had good generals those days. They knew how to, they had good weapons. They had secret weapons. Who knows what they had? But it wasn't the middle of Derech HaTeva. It wasn't anything. No. It's a miracle of nature. That within Teva, within the battle, you won. How do you possibly win? When Hashem is on your team, you win, no matter what. And the purpose is to remind ourselves that if you follow Hashem, there is nothing that is impossible, and it doesn't necessarily need to be l'mala miderech ha-teva. Hashem can arrange that within the rules of teva, you can win and achieve things that are literally impossible. Okay, we'll leave it with that. Now let's go to some other minhagim. Now over here are some very beautiful minhagim. Let's talk about some minhagim. There are two things that we eat in time immemorial, foods that commemorate the miracle of Hanukkah. Number one is sofkoniyot. What is that? Now, that doesn't mean there's no question. The donuts that you get in sesame is not what Chazal had in mind. Okay? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about over here. We're talking about, the first one to mention, by the way, the minute to eat sofkoniyot is who? I'm sure it's a very famous thing, is the father of the Rambam. Okay? Maimon. The first one on record to mention the minhag of eating a cake that is fried in oil, a cake that's fried in oil is the father of the Rambam, Maimon. Maimon ben Yosef. Rabbeinu Maimon, Aviv Shel Harambam. Let's see if I have a quotation over here. From over here, B'shir Rabbeinu Kloinimus. V'chasav Rabbeinu Maimon she'ein lehokel b'shum minhag uchigoyin haminug shel sufganiyot b'chanukah. Okay, he quotes Rabbeinu Maimon that a person should not be lenient in any custom of the Jewish people, including the minhag, which he would say, what? To eat a mezoinos, some grain that has been, a mezoinos that has been fried with oil? No, don't ignore any minhag in Klal Yisrael.
And the Rambam, who's a doctor, said it's not healthy.
Did he say that? I don't know. Now, what is the reason why? Now, what's the reason for this minhag? So he writes, V'tam minhag kasu Rabbeinu Maimon v'oid achrayinim shu zecher l'neis ha-shemen. So he says the reason why is because since in this dish you need a lot of oil, so it's a reminder of the oil. Now, I told you the oil really is, it's a chiddush. This is not going with everything that it says in the Sefer. In this Sefer, basically, he's saying that the lighting of the Ner Chanukah has, it's just, we used it to remind us of the miraculous nature of the Milchama. But you can't ignore that there's something, obviously, to the nace of the Shemen itself. And because the miracle, the Pach Echad, only was Munach B'chasam Shal Kohen Gadol, was only enough to last one day, it lasted for 8 days. A Zecher, for the Shemen, we eat a dish that has a lot of oil. Okay, now put it on hold for 1 second. He says here a beautiful Chiddush here on the bottom of the page, I want to bring out. There's another thing that we've been doing from time immemorial, latkes, potatoes. Okay.
It isn't coming until the 1492.
Right? Very good. Okay, very good. Exactly, 1402. There's another minhag to eat latkes. Okay, where does this come from, this minhag? Okay, a minhag is so l'chayra, it's the same thing that you add to this dish. Okay, when did they first discover potatoes? Was the first time they had potatoes, so it's a very modern. The potatoes didn't exist until what year? Until four? So maybe the latke, I don't know. Okay, I'm not sure. Okay, fine. Very easy. I'm reading over here. It's something very easy. Okay, he quotes a sefer called Sefer Kolmus. I have no idea what the sefer is. He quotes over here. He has the Oyd Pshat B'minig Halatkes. Shehashoyrei shel shem latkes hu miloshen yovan. This is a Greek word. The word latkes, it's not in the English dictionary. It is a Greek word, latkes. Uperushoy hu ugois shemen. Latkes means a cake of oil. Ulefichach, anu oichlem ugo yivonis, we consume a Greek cake, kesemel, as a symbol, l'nitzachoin al yovan. So this is an idea that you have in front of you, what we call a latke. It's not so much what it is, potatoes. Maybe originally it wasn't potatoes. Maybe originally they used some other type of vegetable.
Matzah milk.
Whoever knows what they use. But it seems like there's also, I'll explain to you in a second why maybe bedafka not. Now let's actually discuss that now. There are some people, Rabbi Isai, this is a tremendous chiddush, which is shalaik halacha, who don't eat donuts on Hanukkah. Yehoreg v'al yavor. The whole year they'll eat donuts, but not on Hanukkah. They will not allow a donut to come anywhere near their Dalet Amos on Hanukkah. Why not? For halachic reasons. When you eat a donut, what is the brocha acharoina? Al hamichya. When you make an al hamichya on the 8 days of Hanukkah, do you add into the nusach a zecher of Hanukkah? When it's Shabbos, you say, we'd say, v'achalitzenu, b'yam ha-Shabbos hazeh. V'zachoyinu l'toyva b'yoyim, reish ha-chodesh hazeh. So what about Shabbos, reish chodesh Chanukah? If you're already going to say, we'd say, v'achalitzenu, b'yam ha-Shabbos hazeh, and v'zachoyinu l'toyva b'yoyim, b'yoyim, reish ha-chodesh hazeh, why don't you also add into the al hamichya a zecher of it being Chanukah? Now you can't add it in that part. You have to add in the part of Hoidah. We'll figure it out. You'll figure out where in the Al HaMichya, figure it out, you should insert a mention that it is Hanukkah.
You don't need, because that is there. Mentions the Mizbeach.
You should openly, why don't we openly mention a Zecher that, you know, today is Hanukkah. So the truth is, there is a machlekes hapoiskim if you should mention Chanukah in the Al HaMichya. Halacha l'maisa, you've never heard, you've never seen, that you should add into the nusach of Al HaMichya. I think I once saw it somewhere. We don't do this. It's not our custom. Purim also. We don't do it. We don't do it. Okay, there are many reasons why we don't do it, but let's not go into it for right now. All I can tell you over here, what it says here is, if you dig deep into the sugya, you will discover that there are opinions in the Rishonim who hold that the proper thing to do is you should insert somewhere in the right location, the right spot in the Al HaMichya, a mention that it is Chanukah, and give Shevach V'Hodah to Hashem that these 8 days are Chanukah. Halacha l'maisa. So you get it during the meal, during the meal. Okay, that's a solution. So Rav Kalman over here got me. You can eat it during birchas ben nichlal bechlal birchas hamazon. Okay, but let's say you're not washing. Let's say you would just eat a standalone mezonos. This is a machlokes apoyskim. Halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin? We do not. Why do we? Why? And if it would be a hefsek, you know, if you're not allowed, if you're not supposed to add Chanukah into the Al HaMichya, if you're going to add a mention of Chanukah, you can destroy the whole bracha. It becomes a hefsek. If you talk in the middle of the bracha, you start Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, and you conclude Baruch Atah, you can conclude with the Baruch, and in the middle you're going to say things that don't belong there, you're making trouble. It's a hefsek. You're destroying the bracha. So we don't do this. But there are people who are very sensitive, and they say, you know, it's a shayla. According to some opinions, you have an obligation. Other opinions hold that you're not allowed to, you should not do so. And doing so would constitute a hefsek, so don't. So there are some people, you know, I don't want to get into trouble. I have so much Yirah Shemayim. The best thing is, shtoik, don't eat mezoinos on Chanukah. Because if you eat mezoinos, you have to make an Al HaMichya. And if you have to make an Al HaMichya, you don't know what to do. Should you follow the Rishonim that say you should say Chanukah and Al HaMichya? Or should you follow those who hold that you can't? You're not supposed to. So you know what? I won't eat mezoinos. Halacha l'maisa, we don't.
Who says
there
has to be mezoinos?
What do you mean? I don't understand. If you eat mezoinos on Chanukah, okay. What do you mean?
The word latke.
Okay, that's what we're coming to. So now here's the problem. Wait, hear me out. Mayor, you hit the nail on the head. Hear me out. So therefore, some suggest the reason why there came about a minute called latkes, which we grew up meaning potatoes. Can't be the potatoes existed before the year 1402.
The original latke was a cheese latke.
Cheese with oil.
No, or fish. Yeah, fish
latke. Fine. A lot, fine. So but what is the point? The point is you don't make a mezoinos.
Right.
If you're going to eat a mezoinos, you want to eat a food that has a lot of oil to commemorate the Neis Shel Shemen.
Yeah.
If the dish that has a lot of oil, birchosoi, is borei minei mizoinois, you are putting your head into a machloikis rishonim, what is the correct bracha acharoina? So in order to avoid the dilemma, should I mention Chanukah or not? Eat a dish of oil upon which you make a borei pri ho'adama, or a shahakol niya bidvaroi. So this way you'll be preserving the minig of eating a dish of oil, where you don't get yourself into the dilemma of mentioning Chanukah, because it's not mezoinos. If it's not mezoinos, what is the bracha acharoina? Borei nefashos.
So these people don't drink wine, don't eat grapes.
Outside of a meal, correct. There's no one that I know that does this. I'm talking about people from hundreds of years ago. That is the origin of a latke. Originally, there was only a sufganiyot.
You have another thing.
Originally, there was only a mizoinos. This is what Rabbeinu Maimon says. Others came along and disagreed. Wait a minute, if you're not going to eat the sufganiyot within the framework of a meal of bread, you're getting yourself into a problem, a dilemma of what is the correct, what do you do during the alamichya? So they invented, okay, you know what, so we're going to have a replacement. When you're not eating a meal, when you eat a meal, you can eat your donuts. But if you're not eating a meal of bread and you want to have a zecher for the shemen, so we'll have another type of dish upon which you do not recite a bari minei mizonas, which comes in alamichya. You'll make a shahakol or a bari priyo adama, and you make a bari nefashos, and you don't get into this dilemma. And they called it a latka, because a latka is a Greek word which means a cake, an uga shel shemen.
Fry a piece of bread. What bracha you make?
Well, if it has sudin ahama hamoitzi lachem in aretz.
They did not have aris of ganiyot with eggs and whatever. They didn't have eggs and flour.
Aris of ganiyot are not bread. They are fried first.
A thousand years ago.
Fine. Okay. Enochanam, you're right.
So there, when you're talking, even when the Maimon is talking about eating. Flour or boiled water, he's not talking about bread, he's talking about
we have no idea what he's talking about. He just talks about an uga, a cake of oil. We have no idea what kind of
what did Svarn ask him about kemah that's fried in
mezoinos? Everyone says mezoinos.
Okay, so
everyone says it's impossible.
Svaradim have a very interesting dish that's given to the chassam the morning after
he gets married.
After he gets married, it's a big fancy suit that they have there, and it is a heavily soaked, sugary type of a pastry.
Yeah,
it's like sounds like a sufganiyot.
Could be.
It happens to be a specialty. When I tasted it, you can like.
Okay, so we explained a little bit about the dinner. Now, the latka is a Greek word which means a cake of oil. No, he says it's a Greek word. And over here in the footnote, Rabbi Issa, please, we have a few minutes. I want to get through. In the footnote, he says a tremendous chesh. He says, according to those who want to learn that Chanukah is a multifaceted holiday, we are commemorating different things. We commemorate the nitzachon over the Yevanim, the battles. That's really what we're suggesting. That's the main thing. And there's also the Neis Shemen. So he says, the sufganiyot is the zecher for the Neis Shel Shemen. The latka is a zeche for the milchama. Hayiluchud v'hayiluchud. The latka is a Greek word. It's a Greek word. A cake of oil. It represents the enemy. The enemy has been defeated. We have consumed the enemy. The latka is a zeche of the nitzachon over Yavon, over the battle.
He catches it out. The Greek word for fried latke is called
lukumades. Latke.
It's
you got
Greek
it.
Greek dish. It's called lukumades.
Okay.
We're
running out of time. Okay, there are a lot more things we don't have time. Let's discuss the dreidel. Dreidel. The only one that have a minute to take the dreidel, that there's a legend, and there's no makar for this. Zero. No makar for this. And he says over here that the story is that during the time of the Gezeres HaShemad, which is basically Bilgas, this was basically war number two. Okay, there are three parts of Chanukah.
Yeah.
There was Nicanor, And the middle one was Bilgas, and the third was Elipunri. The middle one was the time of Shmad. The Kinderlach were sitting and learning, they wanted to teach them Torah. If you get caught learning Torah, they would kill you. So what do they do? The legend is they gave everyone dreidels. And if they came to inspect, we're not learning Torah, we're playing dreidel. There is no mikor for this Baba Maisa. This is what they say in the Welt. In Kabbalah, in the Kabbal. The proof that there's no book, that there's something wrong with this, is because the Sfardim, the Taimonim, and everyone except for the German Jews never heard of playing with the dreidel. The playing with the dreidel is a German minhag. It only comes from one place, only from Germany. And it's pretty recent also. The Sfardim, they never heard of this. Where does it come from? If this was a minhag which goes back, the Sfardim should know about this.
Roman soldiers played it in Yerushalayim.
So basically, this was a German game in the Middle Ages. And they wrote on the dreidel English letters, Latin. And they wrote, there wasn't no Nes Gadol, there was an N, G, H, and an S. The original dreidels had English letters, Latin letters. And Nicht, Ganz, Halb, Stellen, these are German words. This was a well-known gambling game that was practiced amongst the Germans. And it was practiced also exactly during Kratzmach. Okay? And what the Goyim do eventually trickles down to us, and we have embraced this game and we've Judified it ad kidei kach that we said Neis Gadol HaYashon. And we made it Goishna of Yehuda Shalach Lefan of Goishna, but it doesn't seem there's any real makar for this minug, which has become a minug. Listen, even let me end off with that Kvitlach cards. Okay, I know you're going to tell me this Kabbalistic in Yonim about cards, about the king, the queen, the klipis. You're going to be goyver. He says over here,
not for Seuda. Purim is for Seuda because they ate
the gufim. Okay, it's another part.
There is no hiyum for the Seuda. Now
he says here, Dover Nifla, what he says about playing cards and playing dreidel, it's all gambling. Dreidel is the source of this, and I'm telling you now, comes from Noye Kitzon Yosef. Noye Katzon of Yosef.
That's a current.
Right, no. Not so current. And the Chavis Yo, no, the Chavis, that's not so current. The Chavis Yo is not so current. That's pretty old. That's way, way back. Okay, let me tell you the Yisoy. It's an incredible chiddush what he says over here. Rabbi Yisai. In ancient times, Jews liked to gamble. They liked to play cards. They liked to go on their smartphones. They liked to do a lot of things that are not really good for the soul. Okay, and this is they Jews engaged in many different activities that were goyisha. I'm running out of time. Amazing to kill me if I go over time for mincha. The goyim in ancient times, the Jews in ancient times embraced a lot of the customs and the entertainments of the goyim. That's a mitzvah. Look, don't we all have, who are the best consumers of smartphones? The Jews. We like to embrace all of the gashmis of the world. And they played cards, and they played the dreidel. And the chachomim, the rabbis, didn't like it. And they wanted to issue an outright ban. It is, the internet is osser. Osser. The smartphone, you have a smartphone, we throw you out of shul. That's what they really wanted to do. They saw that if they tell the olam, the internet is osser, the people will get up, they'll never come back. You're not going to accept it. So they say, I'll tell you what, we can't go tell you that it's osser. The only time that we'll let you do it is Hanukkah. Because Hanukkah, at least, you know, it's against the backdrop of Kedusha. We really want to ban playing cards the whole year. Because you shouldn't be gambling. But you shouldn't be playing dreidel the whole year. But we can't do that to you because you're not going to listen to us. You need an outlet to gamble. Jews need to go on the internet. They need to gamble. So you know what? We'll let you have your fun limited times of the year.
It's called the Chinese auction.
The only time you're allowed to play cards is on Hanukkah. The only time you're allowed to play dreidel is on Hanukkah.
That's why they came out with a kvitlach thing, so you didn't have the Gaisha
symbol.
Therefore, you'll be able to get out your Yetzirah, but it will be like, you know, it's like we'll monitor you. You'll be under, you know, under our rabbinic supervision, so it shouldn't get out of hand. That's how I'll explain. That is how it came about. Hanukkah, kvitlach. Hanukkah, you gamble. How did it all start? People gamble the whole year. They said, cut it out. You want to gamble? At least limit your gambling to a limited time of the year. All right.